is the appearance or manifestation of something, and especially a deity. And we talk about the birth of Christ and how he reveals himself first to the shepherds and then to the Magi, which represents the nations. But Epiphany continues in the revelation of Jesus through baptism and through miracles. And last year we talked about the miracle of at Canaan, where Jesus turns the water into wine. In Rob's message last week, he talked about how baptism, and Jesus' baptism specifically, has this connection to restoring order to the waters of chaos. And this is, our baptism is both something that is ordinary, but at the same time, extraordinary. Something that is simple. Lots of people go into waters regularly to shower, to clean themselves. But in this act of baptism, something miraculous happens that is beyond just the simple function of going into water and then coming out of it. It's a uniting in the work of Jesus into his death and resurrection. There's nothing profound in itself in that action, but the symbol and what it represents is profound. It's extraordinary. And so this week is both kind of the exit out of Epiphany, out of this season, and into ordinary time, the time between Christmas and Lent, as then moves into Easter. And part of the purpose of ordinary time is to be ordinary. It's easy to look forward to the next big thing, the next thing ahead of us, something to help us get through this time. And especially people in the Northern Prairies know what this is like. I remember last year I went through quite a bit the Rick Mercer clip where he talked about how Weather Canada always has zero at the end of its 14-day forecast to trick us into, like, oh, it's going to get better. We're going to make it through. Zero is coming, or at least something reasonable. So we kind of mark our calendars looking forward to the next thing out of this, yeah, not out of the ordinary into the extraordinary, but out of this, oh, it's so cold, into something that we can handle and that we can maintain. In this ordinary time, I'd like to look at the Gospel of Mark and the life of Jesus displayed in the Gospel there. Last week, Rob started us off a little bit moving in that direction already with reading from Mark 1 to 12. This is the beginning of the good news of Mark, beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And in this time, I'd like to look at how a lot of the ordinary experiences have an opportunity for something extraordinary, something wonderful, something special. So much of our time isn't spent in the extraordinary experiences. Our time is spent in the ordinary, in the getting ready for work, getting ready for school, the going out, the buying groceries, the cooking supper, the going to bed. And it's this rhythm of ordinary. But in these ordinary moments, there's always the possibility of something extraordinary, something special, something profound to happen in them. When I was preparing for this, I thought about Scott McKnight and his book, The King Jesus Gospel. And in this book, he talks about how the story of Israel is resolved specifically in the story of Jesus and his death and resurrection. It completes the story, this longing. And one of the things that McKnight highlights is this Greek word, "euthus," which is translated immediately. And it's a signal in the text, as he argues, that things are moving forward. There's this anticipation, this clue and mark about where the story is going. And I'd just like to read his quote concerning that. "Mark's focus on the death and burial and resurrection is very gospel-like according to Paul's and the apostles' definition. A Greek reader feels this focus on the last week more than an English reader. The Greek reader encounters in Mark's gospel the Greek word euthus, usually translated immediately, 34 times in the first 9 chapters. I remember the first time I sat down to read Mark in Greek in one sitting and realized after a few chapters that my heart was racing. I began to wonder why this was happening, so I paused to become more self-reflective. I soon realized it was because I felt Mark was in such a hurry to move from one event to the next, and this was experienced with the Greek word euthus. It is obvious to a careful reader of the second evangelist of Mark that Mark couldn't wait to get Jesus to the cross. Once Mark gets Jesus to the passion, the word euthus all but disappears. This word itself is a gospel-directed and gospel-directing word in Mark's gospel." End quote. Now, I'm sensitive to what McKnight has identified in the narrative, and I think he is definitely onto something. This word doesn't occur very often in Matthew, Luke or John. It's only there sparingly. And in a sense, in Mark, you do get the sense of and then, and then, and then, this wrapping moving towards something. But what I'm going to ask you to do in this time, this week, and as we consider Mark, is to read against this narrative tendency in a way. Read against what McKnight has identified and slow down and consider the ordinary moments that happen in the Gospel of Mark. This impulse to move directly to the cross, directly to move to Lent, and then to Easter is natural in our sense of looking forward to the next opportunity, the next event, the next thing on the calendar. And in it, we can often miss the extraordinary opportunities in the ordinary moments. So I'd like to consider two stories in Mark to kind of get us going in this thing. And the first happens in the mundane and the boring, but it becomes an opportunity to follow into something extraordinary. And the second one identifies the ordinary turmoil that could happen in life, the chaos that often seems to take place, but a new revelation that comes out of that. So the first one is, as is on the screen, the calling of some of the disciples, and this is Mark 1, 14 to 20. And this comes almost immediately after the passage that Rob read last week about Jesus' baptism. And then there is a brief time where Jesus goes into the wilderness to prepare for his ministry. And then he comes out, and this is how the text reads. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So for the disciples, this would have been an ordinary day, a day like any other. We don't know what they were expecting in terms of Messiah necessarily, or we don't know what they had heard or knew about Jesus at this point. But they're sitting, going about the mundane, going about their normal course of action. Fishing, repairing nets, doing the normal things in life, the normal occurrences. They're preparing to go into the boat that they'd gone into countless times before and repairing the nets that I'm sure they had done also countless times before. And Jesus walks into this. He walks into the ordinary moment of the disciples' lives and says, "Come, follow me." Such simple words. If I think about how many times I say, "Come, come on, come on," often to Noah. "Noah, put your shoes on. Come on, let's go. Come." This word is simple. It's mundane. It's ordinary. But as Jesus expresses it to the disciples, it's an opportunity that moves into the extraordinary. It transcends this plain meaning into a wonderful invitation to journey with Jesus in the breaking forth of the good news of the kingdom, in his journey of proclaiming that God has come to visit his people, the time that they were waiting for has drawn near. God is making all things right and making all things new. Jesus speaks to these ordinary men in this ordinary moment, to put it as Jesus speaking into this ordinary moment to fish for people. Or in another way, to partner with him in this difficult yet wonderful task of gospel proclamation in the world. I sometimes think of the moment before and the moment after that something extraordinary happens. And you don't often realize that this extraordinary moment is happening. You're in it, it happens, and then you're kind of almost dumbfounded as you walk away. And it's like, what just happened? What just went on here? And I feel like when I experience this story, I almost experience of them not jumping up and running after Jesus, but kind of like getting up, almost as if they're outside of their own body as they kind of stumble on. What am I doing? Well, I just left my livelihood to follow after this guy. But it becomes an extraordinary moment as they're able to witness what Jesus is doing, as they're able to partner with him in something awesome, something amazing. Leaving their nets, leaving the normal, leaving the ordinary, to journey into a different time, a different opportunity, an opportunity of making all things new. The second passage is Mark 4, 35 to 41. And this is the passage where Jesus calms the storm. And at first glance, you might think, well, this is actually an extraordinary story. And I would argue that for fishermen who spent a lot of time on the waters, a lot of time on the sea, that they would have experienced a few storms in their life, maybe not as intense as perhaps the one that's described in the gospel here, but they would have experienced some storms having spent so much of their time on the water. What is extraordinary about this story isn't that there's a storm that's of great proportions, of great magnitude, but it's how Jesus calms the storm and restores things to a time of rest, a time of safety, as he defeats the chaos that the disciples are experiencing in this turmoil of the waters crashing against their boat. It is a return to the calm that they had hoped for. So let's read this passage together. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Although the water and the storms might have been ordinary for the disciples, the water was still a sign of chaos, a sign of disorder. The waters that were calmed in the original act of creation. And Rob talked about this last week. As Jesus began his ministry, he calms the waters. The Spirit descends like a dove on the new human, the one fully human in the new creation. So Jesus calms the waters for the disciples. He calms the waters of chaos as the boat begins to break apart. The disciples are baffled and perplexed. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And there is no answer to this question given in the text. Just like in questions that are extraordinary, that are so profound, sometimes you just sit with that question and it's unanswerable. It's beyond what we can say. You sit in silence. It's extraordinary. Of course, the question does get answered, but in the course of ordinary moments and interactions with Jesus, he moves and teaches and proclaims that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He proclaims that God is making all things new. And as you notice in the Gospels, that Jesus often takes the ordinary things and gives them a profound and extraordinary meaning. He even uses spit and mud, the ordinariest of things, to do extraordinary, wonderful things for his people. He tells stories that are ordinary as far as the characters and the situations, but in an extraordinary way to declare that the gospel has broken forth, that all things are being made new around him. Sometimes it's hard to appreciate the ordinary. It's hard to appreciate the mundane, the simple, the calm. We kind of live in this moment that propels us forward into the extraordinary, into something beyond ourselves, something beyond that we can look forward to. But so much of our time is spent in this ordinary. It's spent in the simple. It's spent in the calm. But Jesus invites us in these ordinary moments, in these simple situations of every day, to follow after him, to partner with him in the process of making all things new, to display and reflect his image and glory in the world, to journey beyond these ordinary experiences into the extraordinary moments that are made extraordinary because of his Spirit, because of what he's doing in the world. And in these moments, there are sometimes what seems ordinary moments of chaos and disruption, disorder when storms are raging. But in this, he still breaks in these what seem to be ordinary moments of chaos with extraordinary peace, bringing calm to the storms and calm to our lives. These moments are opportunities to follow him into these extraordinary moments, but they're easy to miss. They're easy to look past into the next thing. I know that I'm like that. I constantly want to know what's next. I want to know what's forward, and I have a hard time waiting. When sometimes with books, I'm like, I just want to know how it's going to go. I want to know how it moves, and it's sometimes an act of great control not to skip ahead to the final pages. But sometimes it's the reflection of how life is. We want to skip ahead to the end, to the result, into the next moment, And we miss sometimes how God is unfolding in our very midst, in those ordinary moments, in the times between. Sometimes we miss the opportunity to partner with him in the process of making all things new, or to experience his calm and peace in the present moment in our lives, to recognize again how he is Lord and how he is making all things new as he calls us to come and follow. So as we move out of this time from Epiphany into the ordinary time, I invite you to wait and have an opportunity to experience the ordinary revelation of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, and to relate this into the ordinary moments and opportunities in our daily lives and interactions, waiting for him to reveal how he is moving in the call to follow him and to partner him in the process of making all things new. And one of the greatest symbols of how ordinary things become extraordinary things is the table. There's not much more ordinary than bread and wine. To be one of the most basic, most ordinary symbols. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, through his taking of those elements on the night before he was betrayed, before he went to the cross, he gives them a new life, new meaning. He transforms them into something extraordinary, something remarkable, something that helps us to sustain us along our journey in the ordinary moment. And that's why we celebrate them each week, because it's always an opportunity to allow the ordinary rhythm of our life to be transformed into something extraordinary and wonderful, to be encouraged in following him, to be encouraged when it seems like it's ordinary chaos in our midst. So I invite you to come tonight and have an opportunity to encounter Jesus afresh in an ordinary moment of taking off a piece of bread and dipping it into the cup. But don't allow it to remain just an ordinary moment. Create space, create opportunity, create the willingness to respond for it to be an extraordinary moment and an extraordinary encounter with him, the God who is making all things new.